I thought we can just sing this song and go home. Because this song tells us in simple way all the important point. Right. It's not just a song, it should be our reality, our practice. Many times we just sing, but we don't know what we're singing, and we don't feel what we are singing. But this song is wonderful. Right. Well, nevertheless, we can continue to have fellowship concerning the laws of the kingdom. But before we go into that, I would like to stress and emphasize again, how many kings can a kingdom have? Are you sure? Not two? Have you ever seen a kingdom with two kings? That kingdom will be in big problem. Right. So how many kings can we have in Zion? You sure? Just one? You like to be the second one? Right. But unfortunately, the whole situation today is every group has their own king or kings. There is the king and there is the assistant kings. Right. So complicated. We like to replace Christ. And I want to emphasize that again. The trouble with Israel started when they rejected God to be their king. Right. We have a wonderful king. Who can be greater than Christ? Who can be greater than Christ? Okay, what about a priesthood? How many high priests can we have? Ah, you see, even our young brothers, only one. Only one. The Lord is a great high priest today. We are the priests serving together, following this wonderful great high priest. We are not just serving by ourselves. No, Christ is our great heavenly high priest. No one can replace him. Right. So, as George shares this morning with us, our Lord is both a king and a priest. No one can replace him. Who dares to replace? And we, his people, how dare we elevate someone more than this wonderful king? At the end, everybody just elevate the person and replace this person as, replacing Christ. We shouldn't do that. Nothing is more offensive to God as to have someone replacing him. And this is the first thing after 5 centuries when Christ departed. Right, the papal system was set up by the enemy, and the Pope replaced the authority of Christ. He is called the Pontifex. Right, the bridge builder between us and God. So he is the mediator between us and God, but the Bible says there's only one mediator. Who is that? The Pope? And then I have experienced passing through that time when somebody was mentioning the Father sent the Son, right? The Son sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is now upon this brother. And if you want to have fellowship, you have to come through this brother. Goodness sake. Who is the mediator? How many mediators? Are you the mediator? So when you have a problem, which mediator do you go to? Are you sure? Oh, you were called Brother So-and-so. That's your first mediator. I always encourage the brothers, when they have a question, go first to the boss. Go first to him. Who can give you a better advice? What is his name now according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6? Who is the wonderful counselor? You? No. Paul? The apostle Paul? Peter? John? The first person you have to go to is our Lord Jesus. He's the great high priest. He's the one interceding for you all the time. What should we do as priests? How are we going to practice the priesthood? Who is the great high priest? Yeah. So you have to learn to ask him. Go to him. Go to him. Right? He's the one who is up there already. He reached the goal. Hebrews chapter 8. And that is the what? The main point that we are talking about, he says. It's the main point. We have such a great high priest. And where is he now? He has passed through the heavens. And now serving in a tabernacle is not made with hands. And he is there in chapter 7, always interceding for us. Are you always interceding for the saints? No. But there's one that's always interceding for every one of us. So if you have a problem, who do you go to in the church? In the house of the living God. If we confess that he is our great heavenly high priest, and the one who is able to save us to the uttermost. Who can save you to the uttermost? No. Only one? Maybe your wife can help. Maybe some other brothers can help. Who can help? We always like to go to men, to person, to people that we can see, to seek for help. But we have such a great heavenly high priest. Do not replace him. If a brother or sister have a problem and come to you, what are you going to do? Sit down with this person. I'm your counselor. Okay, tell me your problem. Don't you do that? So Sarah, if you have a question, a problem at work, who do you go to? We call your dad. That's why the answer is you looked at her dad. So I know, he is your helper. But learn to go to the Lord first. Yeah. He's a great high priest. How to bring the best offering to the Father? Who is going to give you the advice? Yeah. Who knows the best what to bring to the Father? What can satisfy our beloved Heavenly Father? Go to him. Simon, learn to go to our great Heavenly High Priest. He's not only in heaven. Revelation chapter 1 says he's walking in the midst of the golden lampstand. If you think he's in heaven, he's so far away. Maybe he can't hear you. No, he can hear you. Because he's not only up there, he's also in you, and he's also walking in the midst of the churches, the golden lampstand. But why do we always go to people? We have such a wonderful great high priest walking in our midst. If people come to you, learn to send him to the Lord, to the great heavenly high priest. Are you the wonderful counselor? You know, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Counsel. In Isaiah chapter 11, he is the Spirit of Wisdom, he is the Spirit of Understanding. Because if you have the wisdom, you also need understanding. And that doesn't mean that you know everything, so you still need counseling. He's your counseling. He's your counselor, a wonderful counselor. And then he's also your strength and power to carry it out. Otherwise, okay, I understand everything, but you still can't do it because I need the power and strength. And then you need to know more. So he's the Spirit of knowledge. Not knowledge of doctrine, but a knowledge of what you should be doing to carry out. And recently I was installing a fan, and I thought it was very easy. I looked at instruction, oh, I can do it. But when I'm doing it, I found out I'm 81 years old. I need power to hold it up. And then I need more knowledge to see how it works. And there's so many unexpected complications. Who am I going to call to help? You think the Lord doesn't know electronics? And right. We need all of his help, especially today in the kingdom, in the priesthood. Don't think priesthood is easy. A kingdom of priests is not easy. No. But who is going to teach us? Who is going to lead us? You think God will just leave to you? Okay, Rebecca, not this one, but this one. You figure it out yourself. Well, no, you don't need to. Go to the great heavenly high priest. He knows what to do. Yeah. It says he's fitting for us, just the one we need. You have to ask him. Ask him. Ask this great heavenly high priest. There's no other, no one can replace him. Then he is the king, the unique king with the authority. Otherwise, what are we going to do in the kingdom? How do you fight the battle? How are you going to win? He fought it, and he won. He's the victor. And Paul realized that. That's why Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says, he always leads us in victory. In every situation, Paul was victorious. How? Because he was so strong? No. Because this wonderful king was leading him in victory in every situation. In Romans 8, we mentioned already this morning, he made us more than conquerors, and nothing can separate us from him. You have everything you need, but you have to go to him, the relationship with him. Spend time with him. Know him. Discover him. The Lord says, come to me. But we are so capable, we think. Okay, let me do it, Lord. Yeah. This is our problem. Right. Well, I should have called John yelled to help me to start with. That would save me hours. Right. But spiritually, we always think we can do it. Oh, yeah, I can cope with it. Yeah. So may the Lord enlighten us. We need enlightening. We need to know Him more and more and more. Don't think you already know Him. No. Every situation is different. Every situation is new. And we need to go to Him. Lord, help me. This is why in the psalmist cried out for help so many times. And it's not describing about you and me in my situation and your situation. It is describing how our Lord Jesus Christ lived on this earth with all the problems surrounding Him, all the attacks of the enemy. And as a man, not as God Himself, but as a man, He was crying out to God all the time. Yeah. All the time He was crying out to God. Yeah. Right. So, we read in Hebrews chapter 5, that he learned obedience and he cried out right to God. But how come you didn't see that in the Gospels? Did you read in the Gospel that he was crying all the time to God? Hmm? Have you? Huh? Only in the Garden of Gethsemane. So he was not crying all the time. One day if you discover that the psalm is not talking about your problem and my problem, what if the Lord said in the end of Gospel of Luke, the psalms, Moses and the psalms and the prophets, they're talking about me. Not about you and me, but about Him. Really amazing. Go to Him. Amen. Amen. Don't think the kingdom life is easy. It is not easy. Even our human life is not easy. Even the family life is not easy. Is your marriage life easy? You see, there's not to answer, right? Because nobody can say the marriage life is easy. But what about the kingdom life? Definitely not easy. Especially if you have a very high, wonderful, heavenly standard. We are not in the earthly kingdom. We are in the heavenly kingdom. Like our brother shared, we were translated. We were moved to another kingdom. And if we are moved to another kingdom, living in another world, it is not easy. Another world with a higher standard, it is not easy. You're going to university now. Don't think it is as easy as high school. Right. Expect some challenges. So may the Lord have mercy. I'm sorry.
Hold this and use this.
Oh, should I use this? Why?
Because for some reason the battery is really low, so we
oh.
Change it out.
Oh, okay. I hope our spirit is not very low.
You can keep that on.
It's okay. No problem. Right. So this is why we need to realize the kingdom that we are in today. It is not a doctrine, it is not a teaching, it is a realization. If we are just talking about it, thank you, brother, thank you. If we are just talking about it, then you go home, you can immediately forget about it. No, we need to have a deep realization. We are dealing with something that is very real and very tangible. Spiritual things are invisible but very real. You don't see it with your physical eyes, but the eyes of our understanding must be enlightened, is what Paul prayed. So if in this conference you just learn something about the kingdom, it is not good enough. You can go home and forget about it. But you have to have a deeper realization in your heart. Paul says the eyes of our understanding, of our heart being enlightened, that we may see. We see, not with our physical eyes, we see and realize the kingdom with our spiritual eyes. Blessed are those who see. Only if you see with your spiritual eyes, then you can perceive and you can get into the experience. If it is just doctrine, you say, okay, I understand now, praise the Lord, we are in the kingdom, and you go home, you don't have the perception, you don't have the seeing, you can forget about it. How many conferences we went through in the past? After the conference, we understand, put it away in some bookshelf. What's next? And what's next? And what is next? Then we have so many conferences. Okay, we know a lot of knowledge, but where is the reality? People can say, oh yeah, we know about the priesthood. Okay, but are you doing it? Are you practicing it? It's not a matter of knowing. So I'm really concerned many times when we just fellowship or give a message, we're just giving information. Don't just give information. It should be your inner realization. You have to see it first. Otherwise, you cannot help other people to see it. Amen. We come now back. Oh, I forgot my watch, but there's a watch in there. We come back to the Constitution. Let us go to Matthew, right? What the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5. We mentioned in yesterday concerning the nature, meaning to say, what kind of people are we? Right. If we have so many illegals coming into this country, they're all people of different nature, different background, different practices. There are a lot of criminals coming in. A lot of terrible people, terrorists. What will happen to this country? What? Oh, come on, we are very open. We are open to all kinds of people. Very liberal. You think the kingdom of God will accept all kinds of people? Yes, all kinds of born-again people from different tribes. But once you want to come in, you have to be born again. It's a kingdom people. Our brother was mentioning how come there's only 144,000. There's so many Christians today, right? I don't know how many real burning Christian, but as far as Christians is concerned, in a religious way, there must be at least 2 billion, including the Roman Catholic Church, the largest. But how come there's only 144,000? Why? Where are the rest? Are they not saved? They're saved. But they're not transformed. They're not saved to the uttermost. Yeah. We sang that song. How often must the Lord work in you and make changes in you? Once a month? Daily. Ah, you remember that song. Change us daily. Strengthen us daily. Transform us daily. And work on us daily. You know what you're singing, right? That is why there's only 144,000, Brother Theo, right? Don't you want to be one of these 144,000? How are you going to do that? There's a certain kind of people. The Lord has to work His nature into our being. There has to be a transformation. We need to have a condition in our spirit that is poor, not filled with so many things. So this is first of all, before the Constitution, Lord, define to us the kind of people that belongs to the kingdom. Right. That's why it's good to read it again. Blessed. Are we blessed? Very difficult to translate that word message, blessed. Hard. It literally means happy. Are you happy? And why are you happy? Are you satisfied? Right? Sarah, are you happy? Why? Because you got a good job? You got a new house? Nice everything? Because you got a Tesla? Are you happy? What are you happy about? Have you ever thought receiving God's kingdom is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to your life, that will truly satisfy your heart? Nothing can satisfy you. Yeah. Before, I thought so many things can satisfy me. Oh, I'm happy if I just have that thing. Oh, I'm so happy. When I was a child, I got a toy. Oh, I'm so happy. Now you give me a toy. What is that? Now, what makes you happy? Huh? The kingdom. If you missed it, you'll be weeping and gnashing your teeth. You won't be happy if you miss that kingdom when it comes. The Lord says, hey, you missed it. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You won't be happy. Nothing will last on this earth. You're talking about winning a game. Right? Everybody's so happy winning the game. Right, you're mentioning about winning the game. Yeah. Winning. How long are you happy?
Until the next game.
But the next game takes a while, but in between, are you still so happy? How long will that happiness last? Forever? So you're not really very blessed. Are you happy, Shirley? You don't look very happy. Now, let me tell you, if the kingdom comes and you are part of it, you will be just beside yourself. Can you imagine standing with the Lord in the heavenly Zion? But if you're not in Zion now, how can you be in Zion there? It depends on what you see, what you realize in you. So, blessed are the poor in spirit. I've never seen a happy poor man, have you? But this is a special situation of being poor. If your heart is so filled with many, many things, how can Christ move in to your heart? Remember what Ephesians chapter 3 said, that Christ may make his home in your heart. So you need to be poor in spirit, meaning say you need to move out so many other things. If your heart is filled with junk, it becomes a junkyard, you won't be very happy. And then blessed are those who mourn. You know, when the Lord was on this earth seeing the whole terrible situation of mankind, you think he'll be happy? If you go to your office and seeing all those workers there, all are just so busy with earthly things, trying to make more and more money and more of this and more of that. Right. Everyone lost. How do you feel there? Are you happy? Do you mourn for them? Blessed are those who mourn. You think the Lord Jesus was on this earth, he was happy? Seeing all this situation concerning his people, the chief priests, the elders, the scribe and the Pharisees, and terrible things happening there. When we see what's happening in this world, now, when you see what's happening in New York City, for example, are you happy? In Canada, seeing the situation? Mo, are you happy? What do? Complain. You know, we should mourn for them. Blessed are they who mourn. There's a reason why we mourn. Not because we don't care, no. Right. We see this terrible situation, and not mourning, it's not normal. God's people is not, cold-hearted people. We mourn. We feel the situation that's going on. Blessed are those who mourn. That means you're a caring, sympathetic person. You know the condition of the others. When you see somebody suffering, are you happy? You see so many people captured in religion, are you happy? Or do you just criticize them? No, blessed are they who mourn. We have to be this kind of people. We have to be. This is the kingdom people. And then the meek. And thirst and hunger for righteousness. Right. And merciful, we have seen this. They shall obtain mercy and pure in heart. All this point, you have to dream about it. Don't just read it and forget about it. Tell the Lord, I want to be this kind of person. Because this is the nature of the kingdom people. And you can only be this kind of people when you gain Christ. Because only Christ is this kind of people. Because we are not very merciful. We definitely are not. Blessed are the pure in heart. This should be your favorite verse here among these few verses. Peacemaker. Who is the peacemaker in your family? Nobody answers. Oh, Lord. Maybe if I ask, who is the troublemaker? We all call ourselves sons of God, right? Are you a son of God? So how do I know you're a son of God? Because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will say that, right? But it says here differently. It says that a peacemaker. So are you a son of God? Of course you are. But how do people know? You cannot say, oh, because I'm born again. How do they know you're born again? You're a peacemaker. Otherwise, you're going to kick out people who are not the same, who don't have the same opinion like you, who don't see with you eye to eye, or who do something else that you don't like. So what do? Right. Peacemaker. We are the peacemaker. This is why in the world there's no peace. In religion, there's also no peace. But the Lord is called the Prince of Peace. The kingdom people are a peaceful people. Right. It doesn't mean that you don't stand for the truth, but you do it peacefully. Yep. Do it peacefully. We are people who are peacemaker. And if you are this kind of person, you will not persecute others. You will be persecuted. Praise the Lord. So, it's good if people persecute you. Don't get angry. You should say, well, praise the Lord. Thank you for your persecution. You're helping me to gain the kingdom. Yeah. Once upon a time when I was kicked out, I saw another brother, and I told this brother, I said, thank you very much. Please say thank you to that dear brother for helping me to gain the kingdom. Because if you persecute me, that's the best way for me to gain the kingdom. Or do you prefer to be a persecutor? If you're a persecutor, you will lose the kingdom. But if you're a persecuted one, you will gain the kingdom. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Praise the Lord. How many times were you persecuted? Not yet, right? Well, praise the Lord. It's also good. So, praise the Lord. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Wow. You think, oh, poor John. John will say, no. Praise the Lord. He will be very happy, he will tell you. And why was he sad there? He was sad not because he was in Patmos. He was sad because of the condition of the churches. He was sad. Don't think he was sad because he was sitting in Patmos. Perhaps it was even a good time. Then he'll have a lot of time to have fellowship with the living triune God. That's why the Lord appeared to him. You want the Lord to appear to you? Go to Patmos. Go to Patmos. My experience really is so. The more you're persecuted for the sake of his testimony and righteousness, for his name's sake, for the truth's sake, let me tell you, you will feel very blessed instead of being angry and bitter. Because I know a lot of people who were bitter, so bitter, until this very day, they were bitter. But why bitter? You should be thankful because yours is the kingdom of the heavens. It depends on what you see. Right? So next time somebody persecutes you or say evil things about you, don't get angry. Learn this. It's not easy, but praise the Lord. Yeah. This is why the apostles were not afraid to be a martyr. And this gives you a chance to pour out your life as a drink offering for God to enjoy. Good opportunity. Right. This is the kingdom people. They are not those who persecute others, but they are those who are persecuted. Is this a doctrine? It is not a doctrine. No, brothers. This is the kind of people in the kingdom. And if the Lord doesn't have this kind of a people, then the Constitution is useless. Look at so many U.S. citizens here. They don't want the kingdom. They don't want the Constitution. They want to turn this country into something else. So what kind of people are they? This is why that Mr. T, I call him, you know, the person whose name started with a T, he wants to make this country great again. And that's why a lot of people hate him. Well, we want to make the heavenly kingdom known to the whole world. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right? This is why we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You can never be that without the reality of this nature. Only if we have this nature of Christ within us and wrought into us can we be the salt and the light. Otherwise, we are just the blind leading the blind. So then the Lord began to say, in chapter 17, because people ask you, how do you know these chapters are the Constitution? People will ask you that. Well, the Lord said in verse 17 of Matthew, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Now he's telling you what he's going to tell you is about the law. I'm not coming to destroy the law. So people say, we don't need the Old Covenant. We don't need the Ten Commandments. We don't need the law. The Lord didn't say that. Don't think I came to destroy the law, to put away the law. The Old Covenant, yes, that was God's covenant with the people. But not the law. Do you mean to say you can steal now and you can kill? It's no more law. The Lord abolished it. You can commit adultery? No? You can bear false witness? You can covet anything you want? There's no more law. It's ridiculous to think in such a way. And then here we can see the Lord says, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. If you destroy the law, that means you became lawless. And those who cannot fulfill the law still force others to do it, became awful. Not lawful, very lawful, and it's awful to be lawful. No, it's awful to be lawful. And that's what the Pharisees do. It tells you to do it, but he himself didn't do it. That's awful, because it's lawful. You want to be awful? Awfully lawful. You're lawfully awful. Whatever you say it. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What a sweet word. The Constitution is not there for you to tell others to do it and you don't do it. Right. To fulfill, hallelujah. Yeah. For assuredly, I say to you, even the Lord said it in a very strong way, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, right, will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Wow, that is a very strong word. I'd like everybody who is against the law to listen to this. This is what the king says, okay? It's not what I said. Don't try to persecute me, although you could. But it's not my word. It is the word of the Lord. Yeah? And then the Lord warns, whoever therefore breaks one of the least, the least of these commandments, and teaches men to do so, shall be called least in the kingdom of the heaven. I feel sorry for those who says we don't need the law anymore. If people who say we don't need the law anymore, I think they are the least of the least. They shall be called the least in the kingdom of the heavens. But whosoever does and teaches, not just teaches, but also does it, and do all of these commandments of the Lord, don't be a teacher and not a doer, you'll get more stripes. Okay. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of the heavens. Isn't that wonderful? So you can see how important these laws are, the Constitution. Constitution just simply means law. Yeah. For I say to you, now he said even something more wonderful here, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of the heavens. Wow. That is even more scary. You will by no means enter. Serious. It's a serious business. This is why the law is very important. Can you imagine if this country, right, became lawless and no more constitution? Everyone can do whatever they want. What will become this country? What will become of this country? It will be like hell. Dangerous to live. Right? How is the, what do you call that, subway in New York? Tabea. It's wonderful, right? You take the subway every day, right? No, why not? It's convenient. It's dangerous. Why? Because it's old. And the mechanics of the subway may all of a sudden not function. That too. But there's something more dangerous than that. It's lawless. It's lawless. And here the Lord even uplift the righteousness. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, what is their righteousness? Actually, they don't have the righteousness. But what they taught is the righteousness of the law. But now the Lord is telling us that in the new covenant, because we have such a life now within us, so the righteousness of the law is elevated, became higher. Do you like that? Why did the Lord make it higher? To make it harder for you? So that it is harder for you to enter into the kingdom? Oh, yeah, the Ten Commandments is not hard enough. I'm going to make it harder for our brother here. It's too easy to enter into the kingdom, so let's make it harder. No. Because now you have this wonderful life, it is easy for you. It's too easy if you start again and go back to kindergarten or first grade. Will it be like that? Would you like it? No, you're not sure? It'll be very easy for you, right? Would you like it? No, now that you're mature in life, you have that ability, something is challenging you. It's good for you. Right, Emmanuel, going to U of T? Praise the Lord. Don't you look forward to it? You do, right? Yeah. So, the uplifting of the standard of the kingdom of the heavens, it must be because it's the kingdom of the heavens. It's no longer an earthly kingdom. But then we have a heavenly life of Christ that is within us. Otherwise, the kingdom of the heavens will be too boring. Oh, what? Really? Because it's too easy. Yep. Praise the Lord. I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom. of the heavens. Then the Lord began to talk about the law in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, that means in the old covenant time, thou shalt not murder. Of course, that is the law, very clear, right? Especially for those people in the flesh to murder. They like to kill people, because their father, Satan, is a murderer from the very beginning. Look at these people. They don't agree with you here in the politics. Bang, the next day you're finished. Yeah. But the law in the new covenant, in the kingdom of the heavens, is much higher than that. So, in the Old Testament time, whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother, oh, be careful. Without a cause, let me tell you, you can cross out that without a cause, because it is not in the older manuscript, the Greek manuscript. Somebody added that in the later manuscript. People like to add something, just like these people. They want to change the law today. So you can cross that phrase out. It's not from me. You can read it in the internet. You can look at it. All the information, they will tell you. This phrase, without a cause. Because people like to put it there because they're angry all the time and they will tell you, yeah, because there's a cause. Are you angry with me? Because. They always want to find a cause to be angry. That's why they added that. No, because. Cross it out. You can really cross it out with good conscience because it wasn't there originally. Right. So, whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment. How easily we are to be angry with one another. That means we're out of control. You cannot control yourself. One of the virtues, one of the things that we should add, like Peter says, is what? Self-control. You need to have self-control. It's not easy. Don't think self-control is easy, right? Is it easy, Rebecca, to have self-control? No, not only for you, but also for an old folk. It's not easy not to be angry. If somebody said anything that doesn't, you know, agree with you, immediately there is a reaction. Right? Amen? Well, I don't want you to say amen to that. Because amen means so be it. Okay, you can be angry. No, you cannot. You're in danger already of judgment. So learn to control your temper. Be a fa-bi-chi. Because to be angry is almost the same, or the same as murder, as killing. John said, if you hate your brother, you already killed him. You're just afraid to do it. But you already killed him in your heart. You're right. So don't be angry so easily, okay? We all are. We need to to learn. There's such a law that tells us, right? Oh, you think to be angry is, okay, it's not sinful. I'm just angry because he did this and that. We have always a reason to be angry. I've never seen anybody who is angry without a reason. Have you? So whoever is angry with his brother, it's a brother, right? Or sister, NIV added, or sister. Because they thought brothers are just brothers, so you can be angry with a sister. So Timo, you can be angry with your wife. So the wife has to read NIV to you. Because brethren includes the sisters. Yeah. So don't be like this, angry with your brother. You'll be in danger. Whoever even say out loud, Raka, you stupid fool. Ah, that's even worse. That means it's more than angry. You express it even out of your mouth. The knife is coming out. So if you cannot control that anger, pretty soon out of the tongue it comes out. Yeah, there are a lot of things that we do, we thought it's okay. Right? And you shall be in danger of the council. That means you will be taken to court right away, to the heavenly court. But whoever says, you fool, that is terrible, shall be in danger of hellfire, Gehenna. You'll be thrown into the fire. I don't want to tell you where this hellfire is. That's not a point. But you have to remember there is such a thing. It's just like the trash can. And you know what will happen if the trash can, the trashman came. What are they going to do with the trash, okay? That's where those who do this will end up. Therefore, the Lord says, if you bring your gift to the altar, you want to offer the offerings to the Father, right? We want to worship God. What shall you do? And you're on your way, first be reconciled to your brother. Make peace with your brother. Right. It doesn't mean that you cannot be angry. But Paul is helping us. Okay, you be angry, but when the sun went down, what does it mean? Your anger should also go down. So if you want to get angry longer, you should do it in the morning. But if you want it to be short-lived, do it in the evening. Meaning to say, don't hold it in your heart. Because if you do, you'll hurt yourself. You will hurt yourself. Anyway, you shall not murder. And this is the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. So you can see the Lord is, in all of his saying here, is based upon the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 or in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Twice it was mentioned there. And I suggest that all of you, especially the young people, go back. List down all of these Ten Commandments in a simple way. and memorize it. Let it be inscribed in your heart. Not just written in a Bible and forget about it. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Look, you know, adulterous generation, the Lord called that generation, and of course every generation as adulterous. Evil and adulterous generation. Don't think adultery is not dangerous. No, it is very, very important. We list it here. I don't want to go into details because there's so much to talk about it. But if you go to the outline, you can see just in the outline here. Let us just go to the outline and then five more minutes or a few more, couple of more minutes, and then we stop here and continue maybe tomorrow evening. The last meeting, yeah. Here in the outline, A is self-control over anger and hatred. B, overcoming the lust of the flesh, no adultery and no divorce. Thou shalt not commit adultery. This is very serious. If you read 1 Corinthians and you read Galatians, all those who committed all these things will definitely not inherit the kingdom. It's a serious warning. Very serious warning. We are a kingdom people. Right? So, remember what the Lord said, what the word says, marriage is holy. Marriage is holy. Don't take it in a light way. Right? Just remember that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? So, all of us have to remember this. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Right. So here in this law, it says we have to overcome the lust of the flesh. Why do I use this word overcome here? Because the lust of the flesh, everybody has it. Right. But we have to overcome it. Praise the Lord. We have this kingdom life within us to overcome it. Yeah. Right? Because it is much higher. The Lord says, you shall not commit adultery. Or you say, I didn't. But then the Lord qualified the higher standard. If you look at a woman to lust after her, you already commit adultery in your heart. You say, I didn't commit adultery. But it is in the new covenant, in the heavenly kingdom, what is in your heart, it's already there. Like murder, if you hate, you already kill somebody in your heart. Right? You don't have to put a knife right into the heart. So committing adultery is not just outwardly, but also already. It always starts in the heart. So you can see it is a higher standard. Why? Because we have this wonderful higher life. The Lord will not give you a law that you cannot fulfill. Now that we have this wonderful life, because the Lord himself is the one who fulfilled every law, every requirement of the law. Amen. That is why now that he dwells in us to be our life, that means he also expects that we can do it. because we have this wonderful life within us. This is why I emphasize again this morning the kind of people in the kingdom. Praise the Lord. I hope this little fellowship right now helps. Right. But get into the outline yourself. That's why, right? At first, I didn't think of preparing an outline. That's why the outline was at the very end, right? In the nighttime, almost close to midnight, I finally, that afternoon, I said, okay, I'll write an outline. I thought, well, Matthew chapter 5, we don't need an outline. It's there. But then, finally, I'm sorry, it was so late. Right? But it is there as a help. As a help. So go through the outline yourself. And the holy anointing will teach you. You will understand. The eyes of a heart will be enlightened. And the Lord will give us wisdom and understanding. So, praise the Lord. And point C is regarding our speaking. Yeah. So, go to the Word, go to the outline, compare with the Word. You will understand. Right. So tomorrow, maybe we can share a little bit about it. Not in details, but just to point out the point. But today, I feel to share a little bit more in details for you to see how to understand and dig into what the Lord is trying to tell us. Okay? Amen.
Amen. Dream about the law.
Yeah.
Consider the law.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
It's wonderful. Don't be scared. Because you have this wonderful life within you. Amen. Let's have some prayer.
Amen. Amen.